Good morning. I bring you greetings from Chapel of Christ the Redeemer. I want to thank your vicar, Canon Lewis, for this invitation to preach this morning. Just a few months back, I taught my daughter how to cycle. And where did we learn to go to cycle? We went to the F1 pit building because there's a huge space behind there to learn how to cycle. And I remember holding the saddle, the back of her seat, and I asked her to just pedal. And she was looking at me and she said, "Daddy, no matter what you do, don't let go, okay?" I said, "Okay, I won't let go." So she pedaled and I followed behind her. Shouldn't move too much. So I followed behind her as she moved, holding the back of her seat. And then when I saw that she could slowly pedal, I quietly let go of my hand. And then I could see her pedaling. And then I was just running beside her as she pedaled by herself. And then she said, "Daddy, no matter what you do, don't let go, okay?" And I said, "Don't worry, Daddy is here with you." Then she turned and I waved at her. Then she got a shock because she realized that I wasn't holding the bicycle. And then she almost fell off. But after that, she rejoiced because she realized that she can cycle by herself. Bringing up children is a little like that. You teach them from young, you hold on tightly to them, and then there will come a time where you will slowly let go and watch the children take off and fly. This was taken not too long ago when we went cycling together as a family. This was at the T2 Jurassic Mile area. My girl is 9 and my boy is 7. And both of them are very different. But each child is precious and unique in God's eyes. And each is a precious gift from God. And I pray today that the Lord will convict our hearts. And instead of applying society's cookie cutter on every child, you will desire to anchor your child in the Lord, over and above the flesh and the things of the world. Let us pray. Father, in this morning as we come before you, open our eyes and soften our hearts that we may see what it means when we receive that precious gift of children. Help us, Father, to be that gift to them as we choose to root them and plant them in Christ. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah 17, in our Old Testament reading, paints a very vivid picture of two trees for us. The first is a bush in a wasteland, and this is a desert bush. It's twisted, it's ugly, it's stunted. Its leaves are always looking very starved and hungry. This is the desert juniper tree. The second tree is a very fruitful tree by the water. This is a lush green tree by the river. It's full of leaves and always very fruitful. But what's the key difference between the two trees? What's the key difference? It boils down really to this one important question. Where are the roots of the tree planted? Because it's where the roots are that determine everything about the tree. What's the purpose of roots? Roots do actually two things. One, they anchor the tree into the soil so that it doesn't blow away. And two, they absorb water and nutrients from the soil. The anchor is important so that the tree will not fall and collapse when the wind howls and blows. And the absorption of nutrients and water is crucial, otherwise the tree cannot grow tall, cannot grow strong at all. Roots are important, but more important is where these roots are planted. Where do we draw our strength from? Where do we plant our anchor? What makes us firm and strong? From where do we draw that strength from? From the reading, it appears that there are two choices when it comes to placing our roots. You can either root it in the flesh, or you can choose to root it in the Lord. In Jeremiah 17, if you place your anchor in the flesh, is like a bush in the wasteland. It's like verse 5. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. So Jeremiah here was writing against the leaders of Judah. They were prone to form and trust their own political alliances. They placed their confidence in these allies instead of relying on God for help, and they trusted in men. So when they had more kakis, they had more allies, they were very confident. When they had past victories, they were confident. When they had more chariots, more horses, they were more and more confident. They drew strength, you see, from people. You and I, too, are often shaped by society, and we often draw strength from mere flesh. We draw strength from status and recognition. We are taught from young to climb that ladder in society. And the message is this, that the higher you climb, the safer it is. You get a good job, a good income, the money in your bank, the amount in your CPF retirement account. When your bosses praise us, we feel good. When others look up to us, we get recharged. We seek that outward reward from people and society because it's so tangible. And it becomes the thing that we cling on to. Like the desert bush drawing water from the ground, we draw strength from the flesh. And they make us feel good about ourselves, you see. There's instant gratification. We feel secure. And then when we have children, we begin to anchor our children on the same source that we have been drawing from. We say, you are God's gift to me, so please be a good giver. We tell the children, Daddy and Mommy must get you into that good school, St. Hilda's. You must score that result for that exam. Let the teacher know that you can be a prefect. You must get into GEP, IB program. That course is better. Did you do better than your best friend? Who is your best friend? Better, don't spend so much time with Abun, Asing, Abing. They don't do their work always. They only know how to play. Spend more time with Aloysius, so genius, because he's so clever. He will be a good influence. Then there is frustration, there's helplessness. In many families, parents and children are locked into patterns of vicious cycles of criticism. Yet many times parents criticize because they are so anxious about a child's future. We want them to improve, we want them to succeed, but we forget their uniqueness. We forget that each child is a precious gift from God. The yardstick of success as defined by society is often too narrow. And growing up in Singapore, you and I know what the success story is like. It's often defined by how well our children do in school. So we send them for tuition, different classes, which school will they go to, which JC, local university, and then later on we ask, what job will they get, good salary, do they have a car, a house, a girlfriend, a wife, children, how many children? The sense of self-worth is tied in together with personal success, and the child is deemed a failure if they don't meet up to the expectations of people and society. You have seen this picture, I'm quite sure. Imagine if you want to select the most capable animal in the jungle, and then we say for a fair selection process, everybody take the same exam, climb the tree. What happens? The monkey rejoices. But the penguin, the fish, they will forever think that they are failures. Each child is unique and a special gift. We said that right at the start of the sermon. And that's why if we root the children in the flesh and society, that's a disastrous mistake because it's not lasting. And the irony is we imagine that we have done our part as good parents. Why do I say it's not lasting? Because you look at verse 6 again. The bush in the desert is still a tree that is dwelling and alive. The desert bush. The prophet Jeremiah doesn't compare a lush green tree with a dead plant, but he compares it to a bush, meaning that there are leaves on the bush, there are roots, and there is the appearance of life. It bears the appearance of life. It looks like a healthy tree, But the problem is that it's shaky. It cannot last. It cannot stand the test of time and pressure. A question for us: will prosperity come to the desert bush? Comprehension. Will prosperity come to the desert bush? Even for the bush in the wasteland, even for the juniper bush in the desert, prosperity appears to come. It will come. It still happens. But in the words of Scripture, the bush will not see it when prosperity comes. You see, in the desert, there's the occasional sudden downpour. Flash floods occur. But the thing is, this huge amount of water will not have any lasting effect on the bush in the wasteland. That even when the downpour happens, even when the flooding happens, nothing essentially happens to the bush. Maybe it will be greener, slightly rounder for a while, but the heat of the desert, when it comes again, whatever moisture, whatever beauty, whatever life that may be in the shrubs will be all dried up. There's no lasting effect even when prosperity comes. So when you and I begin to anchor our children on anything else but Jesus Christ, it will be like that. Perhaps you will see prosperity and success for a little while. They will give you the impression that all is good and well. The false impression that all is good and well. My child is doing so well, you know. The teachers praise him. The principals know his name. The relatives all look up to the family. Of course she's doing so well. But beware, because those things are temporal, temporary. The bush has roots, the bush has leaves, but the roots are shallow, no fruits. The plant will dry up in the heat of the sun, and it will eventually consume the moisture, beauty, and life of the bush. Yes, there will be prosperity, but the tree that is not anchored on Christ cannot see that prosperity. There is the storm and rain in the desert, but it's possible to still end up being thirsty, thirsty at the end of the day. And this is what it will be like if your roots are in anything else but Jesus Christ. You contrast this with the second tree. This is a tree planted by the water. So there's a stream, so there's life. A stream in the Bible is always associated with life. There will be life everywhere the river flows. In verse 7, blessed is the man, is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. When your roots are dug deep into the eternal stream of God, there is lasting, eternal change. Your leaves will always be green. You never fail to bear fruit, no matter what happens. It doesn't get to your core, you see. And this is lasting. But will there be trouble? Another comprehension. If you are a tree planted by the rivers of God, will drought come? Appears so, right? You see the words of Scripture? It still comes. There's still the heat, there's still the drought. The promise of God is not that there will be no problems, not that your life and your children's life will be no problems, but that Christ will be with us. That is his promise, through the storms and through the different trials. And all these trials that come will not shake you and get you to the core. When your roots are planted in Christ, when your children are rooted in the Lord, even when the drought comes, when the heat and difficulty comes, you can weather them all. When the dark clouds come, you won't be shaken. When the heat comes, there is still moisture supplied because the roots are tapped deep into the water table and the heat won't affect your core. There will be no worries. You can smile at the storm. When Christ is your anchor, you won't be shaken, you see. Commentators, they point out that the desert bush, when it's mentioned in the Scripture, is always just found there, found in the desert, because it's just like that. But the tree by the river, pay attention to the words, is planted there. This is the language of Scripture, you see. Remember Psalm 1, the tree planted by the river, it's always planted. So what you and I need to do is to be transplanted from wherever we are and planted firmly with Christ where he is. Being planted means that it doesn't happen naturally. If you leave it alone, it won't just magically fly up and plant there by the river. It will not happen like that. It doesn't happen by chance. There needs to be an intentional effort. Because by default, if you leave it alone, you will be like the tree found in the desert. You will go with the flow of society. You will flow along and draw strength from people. And then when children come, you will imagine the same for them. Children become, like the title of this sermon that was given to me, a gift to me, you see. They become your trophies, your source of honor. And then you become so defensive because you will protect that which gives you honor. You'll be just sucked in, you see, if you leave it alone. And you need to make that effort to plant the tree by the river, that intentional effort to anchor our children in the Lord. Here in the cathedral, I believe your pastors, your leaders will help you to do just that. They will tell you the importance of family altars, praying together, worshiping as a family, and I pray that you will listen and act. Don't leave it alone like that. It takes effort to plant them by the river. Choose today to transplant your tree and plant it by that river. My brother and I were ordained together. And this is a picture of our ordination taken more than 10 years back. I look better now, right? Not too long ago, I preached at my brother's induction service as he was inducted as vicar of Yishun Christian Church, Anglican. What caused us to serve the Lord? I actually ascribe it to my mother. My brother and I are blessed because we have seen our mother show love in action. With her actions, she planted us deep in the Lord. Let me recall an account for us. Many years back, I met a friend in the army, and he was somebody that had very few friends because he gave a very certain I'm boss attitude. I got to know this friend well, and a year later, this friend of mine shared that he needed a place to stay because of his family situation. So I went back, shared with my mom and family, and we decided, hey, why not let him stay in our house? Here is somebody who needs a spare place to stay. It'll probably be for a short while. But this short little stay was for over 4 years. And it was hard because he acted really like he's the boss in the house. He would wake up late, leave the aircon on, leave the dishes all over. And many times he gets into very unpleasant situations with the family. So many times I get so frustrated, I want to ask him, I want to invite him to leave. And I can think of so many biblical reasons to chase him away. But it was my mom who held back. She would look me in the eye and ask, Victor, what is wrong with showing him love? What is wrong with showing him love? And my brother and I can't answer her. Although it is my friend who stayed at our place, it was my mom who spent more time sitting with him night after night, listening to him. She would sit him down in a motherly fashion and talk with him. My dad passed away when I was a little boy, and my mom brought us up single-handedly, and she showed us with her actions what it meant to be rooted in Christ and not in the world. And if we model that for our children, they will catch it. And you will begin to see lasting results. Eternal results, not the temporary results, the trophies that you can show to people, but lasting results. We say children are a precious gift from the Lord, but they are not meant to be your trophies. They are not there to make you look good, because there is a responsibility that comes with this gift, a responsibility of planting the children in the Lord. The Lord has given us the precious gift of children, and the most precious gift that we can ever give to them is when we choose to plant the family in the Lord and not in the world. And your children will catch your priorities, whether you know it or not. They will catch the moments when you get anxious, when you're angry, when you jump. They know it. It's easy to preach like this, but it's difficult to execute. It's difficult to carry. But I stand with us as fellow sojourners, desiring that for our family and desiring that for our children. I started out this sermon sharing about teaching my little girl to cycle. When you anchor your children in the Lord, you can let go and have no fear. But when you choose to anchor your child in the priorities and values of the world, when you let go, it will be terribly, terribly shaky. I pray that the Lord this day will enable us to anchor our family and our children in Christ. Father, this day as we come before you, we pray that you show us so clearly what that means. Show us so clearly what it means to anchor the family in Christ and not in the world. Help us not to be captivated by temporary glory, rejoicing in temporal achievements. But Father, help us to cast that horizon further so that we can see your glory and help the children, help our family be in tune with your will. Cast our horizon further. Father, in families where we struggle, I pray that you teach us to be on our knees in prayer. Help us, Father, as we spend time praying. Help us, Father, as we look to you, for only you, Father, can help us dig out the soil from wherever we are and be transplanted by the river. Lead and guide us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.